Welcome, everyone, to the Peaceful Planet Show. We have a fantastic show planned today, this wonderful Memorial Day weekend. And you were listening to wonderful music that's being synthesized from spirit through the mediumship of Robert Murray. And you were listening to The Peaceful Planet, which is our theme song. And you can listen to this music that's being channeled in from the other side from Bob Murray at thestarsstillshine.com. So welcome, everyone, to a fantastic show. Today's show is all about Jesus in India with author and world adventurer Ed Martin. I hope that you've had a chance to go to the BBS website and read a little bit about this fascinating book that we're going to be reviewing and film. We've discussed this before with the producer of the film, Jesus in India, the movie, and the book is equally riveting. Welcome, Ed. It's a pleasure to have you on air on The Peaceful Planet.
Thank you, Marcia. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, I have to say that your book, and again, the book is called King of Travelers, Jesus' Lost Years in India, was one of the most riveting reads I have come across in the last couple of years, and I review a lot of authors, and yours is just really up there.
Well, thank you so much. That's very kind of you. People have really enjoyed it. It's gotten really good reviews, and Paul Davids, my producer friend and colleague that you just mentioned, who produced and made the movie Jesus in India, Paul was so impressed with my book when he first read it about 5 years ago that he decided to make a movie.
Isn't that the highest compliment you can get, writing a book and having it made into a movie? Wow.
It amazed me. I never expected that, but I'm really grateful.
And you are the star of the movie as well. So if you don't mind, I'd like to read your bio to our audience so they get an idea of what we're talking about here with the Jesus India theme. And we want to also mention to our callers that I'm not doing readings today. Last week I spent the whole time doing readings for others, but we will welcome your call-in questions for myself or Ed Martin at toll-free 888-815-9756, or even worldwide you can give BBS a call at 530-876-3222. We're experiencing a little bit of problem here on the air, and we're going to listen to Holy Grail Divine in honor of our guest and get right back with you. Thank you. You were listening to Holy Grail Divine. We were working out some volume difficulties, and we apologize for the inconvenience, but I hope you enjoyed the music. It's appropriate to the continuing search for truth on the peaceful planet regarding the life of Jesus Christ, or Yeshua ben Joseph, as you may wish to refer to him. We are having a fascinating discussion today with Ed Martin, who has written the book, King of Travelers, Jesus' Lost Years in India. So, Ed, are you hearing me all right now?
Yes, just fine. Go right ahead, Marcia.
Wonderful. Thank you. And we thank Don for adjusting our volume and getting things set up. So I was about to read to you a little bit of the bio of Ed Martin and a little bit about the book that we're talking about, as well as the movie, Jesus in India, and the correct website for all of those, again, would be www, I believe it's Jesus_in_India_the_movie. Is that correct?
It's just dashes. You can put JesusInIndiaTheMovie.com with dashes between the words. And if you leave out the dashes, it's okay. It'll still access it. Just Jesus
okay,
in India,
Jesus
the
in
movie.
India, the movie. And .com. Thank you. And I want to read a little bit about Ed's background and how he came to discover these fascinating twists and turns in the East that linked a presence of Jesus there in most of the countries of India, Tibet, and so on. So Edward T. Martin had no inkling growing up as a member of the Church of Christ in a small Texas town that someday a seemingly simple biblical question he had put to his Bible school teacher would reshape his life and future. Not yet a teenager when the question first occurred to him, it was a shock to the fundamentalist boy from Lampasas, Texas, that the teachers and elders of his church had no answer to the question of where Jesus was from ages 12 to 30. It seemed like a rather large amount of time to be left out of the biblical accounts of the Savior's life on earth. The answer he received from them was that God didn't want us to know about that, or it would have been in the Bible, was wholly unsatisfying. The question stayed with him all the while he was studying for his Bachelor of Arts degree at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. There he majored in speech communication with a minor in secondary ed. The question was still dogging him when he served in the Peace Corps in Afghanistan in the 1970s and continued to nag throughout the late 1970s and 80s, when he was a teacher of adult ed in the Fiji Islands, in Saudi Arabia, and then in Peshawar, Pakistan. I want to sort of open up with how you came across this information as you were traveling about in Afghanistan and some of your first experiences with the possible presence of Jesus or his mother in
yes.
all the regions where you were serving.
Yes. Incidentally, let me tell you the story of the title of my first book, King of Travelers, Jesus Lost Years in India.
Oh, yeah.
And some of my very well-educated Muslim students, Muslim adults in Peshawar, Pakistan, I had an evening adults class when I was teaching with the International Rescue Committee. That was in the 1980s, and I was working with Afghan adults, refugees from the war in Afghanistan. What happened was that one of the evening classes, the students were mostly either medical doctors or PhDs. They called it the doctor's class, wonderful class, and they told me wonderful information, and they told me about a great Muslim traveler who lived in the 1200s named Ibn Battuta from Morocco, and they said that Ibn Battuta had traveled all the way from Morocco all the way across to Arabia and India and China and traveled for many years. And finally, he, in his old age, he returned to Morocco. He was on his deathbed. Some admirers came to his home. They gathered around his deathbed and they said, "You, Ibn Battuta, are the greatest of all travelers." And the story was that he sat up in his deathbed and he smiled and shook a finger and they said, "No. If you learn the truth about Hazrat Isa, Prophet Jesus, you will find Jesus is King of Travelers." And that phrase, King of Travelers, just stuck in my mind, and that's where the title for my first book comes from.
Wow, what a fascinating story. And you're full of so many stories in your wonderful book.
Well, thank you.
And yet I hadn't heard that one.
Right. Well,
The translation again in from the Arabic is for Prophet Isa is what?
Well, he is called by many Muslims Hazrat Isa. Hazrat means prophet, and Hazrat Isa, Prophet Jesus. And many of the Hindu and Muslim people that you find in India and elsewhere in that part of the world refer to Jesus as Isa. In fact, I had heard of
there being a secret manuscript or some sort of manuscript with Isa before reading your book, but I have never seen anyone go to the length that you have to travel all over the Near East as you have and Far East and research this topic. It's just really phenomenal.
Well, thank you. Yes, I've made 3 trips now to India, and I've done extensive research, and the last trip, the most recent trip, was in the summer of 2005, and that was after Paul Davids, the movie producer, had read my book. By the way, one of Paul's earlier movies was Roswell, about the 1947 UFO crash near Roswell, New Mexico. That movie starred Martin Sheen and Kyle MacLachlan, Dwight Yoakam, and Paul is a professional filmmaker. So Paul, after he read my...
Paul's been on my show, and we've discussed his movie before. So,
right. You
know, I don't know if all the listeners are aware of that, but thank you for informing us a little bit more about Paul's work. Yeah, he's a very good filmmaker, too.
He is. And Paul, after he read my first book and got back in touch with me in the spring of 2005, and I told Paul that I was planning that summer in 2005 to be going back to India, I told Paul Paul asked me if I would be interested in having a filmmaking team come with me to document my research and put together a movie. And I told Paul, I said, I'd be delighted to. I would love that. And Paul said that he had to talk with his wife and children and business partners. And he said he'll call me back in 24 hours. And he did. And he said everything is green lights. And he said, I'll fax you an 8-page contract and look it over and see what you think. So he did, and then I took it to my attorney in Austin, Texas, who works with the entertainment business. He looked it all carefully. At the end, he put it down, and I said, well, is it fair? And he said, no, it's more than fair. It's generous. I'd call him right now and tell him I'm signing it. So that's what we did. And but our
oh, good.
Yeah, and our filming project, we had a team of, there were 6 of us on the team, Paul Davids, myself, and our Indian filmmakers, and we had an Indian cameraman in our group also. And these are all people who work with Bollywood, the movie industry in India. We traveled that summer.
Oh, Bollywood. Oh, very interesting that he recruited them to do that. That's clever, because they were already there.
Correct.
So he saves on the travel costs and everything else.
That's right.
And I heard great things about this this up-and-coming Bollywood thing. I don't know if that's where the recent movie was filmed about Slumdog Millionaire or not. I haven't seen the film, but
I feel sure some of the people involved with Slumdog Millionaire, or maybe many of the people involved with it, are what they call Bollywood film professionals. That is, people, in other words, we have Hollywood, and their version of Hollywood in India they call Bollywood. And but we traveled more than 4,000 miles throughout India in a big counterclockwise motion, in a big counterclockwise circle, and we traveled throughout India doing interviews and research and filming and going to monasteries, ashrams, archives, and we just had a fabulous journey, had a lot of adventures, not only the monsoon going on, the terrible heat. We had a terrible heat wave in Orissa in eastern India, and some of the temperatures sometimes were around 120 degrees, and we had terrorists activities going on around us
naturally
a number of times. A lot
and
of
that's
ones.
What I find so very unbelievable. When you start to uncover that all the religions are really one basic teaching, one religion, as the Dalai Lama said in the interview, and I thought it was amazing that you were able to get an audience with the Dalai Lama.
It was.
But his basic premise, and
we met him
and you can tell us.
It was amazing how so many doors opened for us. And
yeah,
including a rare interview with the Shankaracharya of Puri. And the Shankaracharya is one of the four ecclesiastical heads of Hinduism, equivalent, you could say, to the Pope of Hinduism. And the Shankaracharya of Puri granted us an interview and allowed us to film the interview and record it and so on.
Yeah, I was reviewing that this morning. Now, for our listeners that don't know the significance of this person, you said it's like the Pope, but basically what he was confirming is that there was something in the Indian writings there, that there was a sage that visited the East at that time.
Exactly.
And they feel it was Jesus. And he confirmed Jesus' presence, basically, in India.
He did indeed, and he confirmed that Jesus was a student there at the Jagannath Temple for about...
Now, did they have a record of any kind of that, or have the record? Did they say the records have been buried or something?
They have written archives listing the names of students and history of the ashram, but they tell how that records have been put into archives underground. And some of the records they have not seen in a long time. Now, in the 1950s, the previous Shankaracharya of Puri told Sri Dayamata, who is the head of the Yogananda organization, Self-Realization Fellowship, the previous Shankaracharya told her in an interview that he himself had seen those archives, that is, had seen the written records that young Jesus was a student there at the Jagannath Temple, and it's certainly in their folklore and their tradition that he was there. They know that very well.
And would they have referred to him as Isa, or was there another name used in the Indian language for him?
There were several. The name Isa, he was widely known by the mm-hmm. name Isa, and then also, as you say, perhaps Yeshua, known as mm-hmm. Isa and Yeshua, and then. One of the other names that I have heard used to describe him is Emmanuel, meaning the one with godly knowledge. And of course our name for him, Jesus, is an anglicized version through the Greek language, an anglicized version of Yeshua or Yeshosh, and so on like that. But
yes, because you go back in the Hebrew, and it's Yeshua or Yeshua ben Joseph, son
right.
of Joseph.
Yeshua
son
of Joseph.
Now,
right.
you know, it's amazing that you were able to get this verification from this Indian master teacher guru, and this would be connected to the Yogananda line, or are they in a different line of discipleship? Because I know Yogananda was into a certain type of yoga.
The Yogananda organization in India is called Yogoda Satsanga Society of India, and mm-hmm. Yogananda, in other words, Yogananda is known by I'd say many people in India know who Yogananda is, and Yogoda Satsanga is one of the yoga societies in India, and. About Yogananda, that we have in our movie quite a bit about Paramahansa Yogananda, his life and
mm-hmm.
teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul and I are devotees of Yogananda, and I also, myself, I'm very involved with the Unity Churches, and I love to attend
mm-hmm.
Unity Churches, and so I consider myself very much of a Christian also. I've been involved for many years also with the Edgar Cayce material and Edgar Cayce study groups.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all very right up my alley, so we don't have any contradictions. I went to the Unity Church for years myself.
Wonderful.
It's a good church, and they do embrace different views on the life of Jesus, for sure.
Wonderful.
And then I think I was, at some point, I was looking at all your material, and I'm a medium and a channel for the Ascended Masters, and I was able to, for some reason at my Reiki circle last night, I was getting messages from Yogananda, so I took some time this morning and channeled in a message from Yogananda, who is confirming your work. So
I'd love to hear that if you'd like to share it.
Well, all right, I'd like to share that with you then. This one is from Yogananda, and it was channeled this morning. And since last night, he's been making his presence known, and some of the others in the group were saying that they were sensing his presence, too. So he is confirming your work, and I asked about that. Dear guides, Yogananda, and others, if you wish to speak on this momentous occasion of having Ed Martin on the show to discuss Jesus' true mission, I am listening. Namaste. This is Yogananda, the yogi of yogis. Though I say that with humility and not pride, in my life and in the fellowship I founded, I did teach the great lessons of Jesus, the master healer and teacher. There was no greater teacher in the West, but it is true in our traditions that Jesus went to India with the wise men. The Magi were wise men or astrologers from the East, and in our traditions there was a great teacher who came and worked with Sai Baba and healed the leper. I have always believed that to be Jesus. Jesus appeared to me while I was on the physical, and he revealed many of these secrets to me, which remain unpublished. Mr. Ed Martin is doing the world a wonderful service by providing the research needed to help the world understand the true mission of the great Jesus Christ, the Guru, to the West. I leave you in peace and awe. I am Yogananda. So,
wonderful.
What a wonderful message and confirmation from the many that love and admire Yogananda the world over. And I do remember when I was reading the autobiography of a yogi some time ago that he had mentioned that Jesus had appeared to him physically and that they had a conversation, but he wasn't able to release the contents of the conversation. So presumably maybe there was some information about him having visited India, been a great sage in India, and so on.
I wanted to mention, Marcia, that for your listeners who may not know about Yogananda's work, that what you just mentioned, the wonderful book, one of the wonderful books written by Yogananda is Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda. And if your listeners would like to see that book, and it's just a wonderful spiritual book that really changes people's lives, they can ask at their local bookstore, or they can go to Amazon.com. They can search on the internet and so on. But you can find Autobiography of a Yogi in paperback at most used bookstores, for example, just for a few dollars, $2 or $3, $4, and it's a wonderful book. And
thank you for sharing that. And regarding your book, how can listeners get a hold of a copy of your book?
Yes,
the one we're reviewing today.
Simple ways. One is that you can go on the internet to www.JesusInIndiaTheMovie.com. JesusInIndiaTheMovie.com. And you can put dashes between the words Jesus in India the movie and .com, or it'll access even if you don't have the dashes. Another thing you can do is that you can go to your local bookstore and just tell them that you would like to see the book King of Travelers, Jesus Lost Years in India. The short title King of Travelers will access it, and my name on the book is Edward T. Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N. And another website that is related to our information, it's a wonderful website, is www.tombofjesus.com. That's TOMBOFJESUS.com.
And speaking of Arif, I had an email from him this morning and let him know
Arif.
He's going to be on air because I've invited him to be on our show sometime as a guest, and I think his website is wonderful.
Isn't it?
Can you still hear me?
Yes, I
can.
Arif.
Now, I want
wonderful.
You to tell our listeners where this tomb, the so-called tomb of Jesus, is located, and when you visited there, what that was all about. That's fascinating.
You see, on my first trip to India, which was in the fall of the year in 1974, that I was traveling all over northern India, and I was doing research, interviewing people, researching about Jesus in India, and I was in Kashmir. And at that time in 1974, things were pretty tranquil, pretty peaceful at that time. That compared to now, and what happened
now
was,
Kashmir is the borderland between Pakistan and Afghanistan, right?
Between Pakistan and India, and Afghanistan is close to there.
Oh, Pakistan and India, right. And that's the disputed land then between Pakistan and India.
Correct, which was when India, in 1947, when there was the partition, when India was divided into Pakistan and India, that Kashmir was divided. So part of it is in, part of Kashmir is in Pakistan. The other part of Kashmir is in India. And there's been controversy ever since that time. That state called Jammu and Kashmir is the only Muslim majority state in India. And what happened in 1974 when I was there the first time, that I went to a, I was staying on a house, in a houseboat on the Jhelum River near Dal Lake, and a wonderful experience. I went to a bookstore and looking around, and lo and behold, I found a brand new book, which is called Christ in Kashmir by Aziz Kashmiri, who at that time was the editor of one of the local newspapers called Roshni, The Light. And I talked to the bookstore owner, and I told him I'm researching about Jesus in India, and I'm fascinated. I'd be fascinated to interview the author of that book, Aziz Kashmiri. And so we called him up on the phone. He's friends with the bookstore owner. I was able to talk with him on the phone, and he said, if you'd like to interview, me, you can come over now. I have some spare time now.
Yeah, talk about divine timing there, Ed. Wow.
right. And
that's pretty fast when spirit wants to work, you know.
Right. The doors can open quickly. And what happened with Aziz Kashmiri was that he showed me, he told me, we had a wonderful interview for a couple of hours, I asked him why he showed me a bookshelf about 5 feet tall and about 3 feet wide, full of books of one sort or another about Jesus in India or related to that information.
Was this man a Christian, or what was his background that he had such a fascination?
He is an Ahmadiyya Muslim, and the Ahmadiyya Muslims, the Ahmadiyyas, put a great emphasis upon respect for Jesus as being one of the important prophets in the Holy Quran. A lot of people don't realize that, but in the Holy Quran of the Muslims, that Hazrat Isa, Prophet Jesus, is one of the important prophets ranking right up there, one of the important prophets. And in fact, Jesus' mother Mary is mentioned by name in the Holy Quran. And
I've read parts of the Quran. I've skimmed through it, and I saw that there's a lot devoted to Mary and Jesus in there.
That's true. And what happened was that Aziz Kashmiri, because he's an Ahmadiyya Muslim, the Ahmadiyya Muslims put special devotion and special interest about time that Jesus spent living and studying in India.
Wow.
And so what happened, I interviewed Aziz Kashmiri. He showed me his research materials and all the huge amount of research he has done throughout his lifetime. And what came up, there's so much more to tell about, but what came up is that he told me that he said some people believe that Jesus may have survived the crucifixion, or another way of putting it is that after the resurrection of Jesus, after the crucifixion, that after he was resurrected, he may have stayed living and stayed on the earth, and he said that he may have returned.
Well, I think that is a very plausible theory, and that is fascinating that you came across this material the way that you did, just by being in the right place at the right time and having an open mind, you know?
That's right. That's
seems
right.
To be and, your and, life mission to uncover this.
That's right. And,
now,
well,
so go on with your story then. So was this the first time you heard this idea of him surviving the crucifixion and being in India? That's pretty contrary to the Christian dogma that you were raised with, obviously, and what I was raised with, too. But it doesn't bother me at all.
Well, good.
I have some other information to add to that, Ed. A few months ago, we've been doing this Holy Grail series on Peaceful Planet, and I had these wonderful guests, Stuart Wilson and Joanne Prentice, who are in England, and they're past life regressionists, and they produced a book, which I highly recommend to you to read, called the Azim's Children of the Light. Mm-hmm. And in that book, they regressed a person who held a past life memory of being Joseph of Arimathea. Mm-hmm. And it fits right in to your story.
Oh, yes.
Because in your book, you talk about the importance of Joseph and how he took Jesus off the cross before he was actually dead, or that he was in a... He was,
state of
maybe
near death.
He was dead, but maybe he was, you know, revived somehow. And their theory goes that these people, they put crystals in the tombs. They brought the healers in through a tunnel that connected Joseph's home to the tomb. And even though the tomb was heavily guarded, these healers were able to gain access to him and to work on him. And they were using crystals to do it. So that's what their book said. So I thought that was very interesting. And this corroborates the idea. And then in their book, they have Jesus recovering in Damascus. And then from Damascus, Syria, he begins this long journey to India.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
It's not only incredibly good timing that you came on my show when you did, because I've covered a little bit of this before, so my mind is open. So go on then with this discovery and everything. What does this man think, and what are your conclusions? Maybe you don't have definite conclusions, but, you know, it's still a very interesting theory.
What happened was that Aziz Kashmiri and I were talking. He, to answer your question, when you're asking, was this the first time that I've heard about the possible survival, Jesus surviving the crucifixion?
Mm-hmm.
To answer your question, it was a few weeks before I met Aziz Kashmiri back in, and I was back in Afghanistan where I was serving as a Peace Corps volunteer, that there was a Pakistani Christian bartender who worked at the bar at the American Embassy Annex. And because it's part of the American Embassy buildings and grounds there and so on, it's considered American territory. So they unlike other areas in Afghanistan where there's no alcohol served, at that time they had a small bar there at the American Embassy Annex. And what happened, the Pakistani Christian bartender, I had asked him one day after work when I was there having a beer, I had asked him about a beer I saw called Murray Beer, M-U-R-R-E-E, and it's a Pakistani beer. And I said, is Murray Beer named after an Englishman? And he said, no, sir, Murray is named after Mary. I said, oh, Mary was an English woman. No, sir, Mary is mother of Jesus. And I said, why would a Pakistani beer... Pakistan is a Muslim country. Why would a Pakistani beer be named after the mother of Jesus? Because her tomb, her grave is there. And I said, what? And he said, explain to me, the Mary, mother of Jesus, is buried in northern Pakistan in Himalayan foothills place called Murray. Murray is place where Jesus' mother is buried on hilltop. And so what I found, I said, what would Mary, let's say that that's true, what would Mary possibly have been doing in northern Pakistan and 2,000 years ago? And he said that some people believe that Jesus did not die on the cross, that he survived, or that he was resurrected and continued to live, and that he decided to travel back to India where he had spent his youth, and that his mother Mary insisted on traveling with him. And by the time they got to what's now northern Pakistan, Mary became sick and she was on up in years. And it was the springtime, and she died, and she was buried at a hilltop. And the place, it's an east-west tomb orientation like the Jewish graves, Muslim graves point north and south. So her tomb has always been venerated. And but about Aziz Kashmiri that I asked, he said, do you know about how that Jesus returned here to Srinagar, to Kashmir, after the crucifixion? And I said, no. I said, I heard about that tomb of Mary. And he said that Jesus became an advisor to King Shalibahan. For many decades, Jesus was spiritual advisor to local king here, King Shalibahan, in years after the crucifixion. And so I was amazed. And he said, and you know, Jesus got married. About the age of 45, Jesus got married. Pretty young woman, had several children, and Jesus lived to about 110, lived to be ripe old age. And I said, really?
If I may ask, is this is tradition for the Muslims of this particular sect, but is this written in any of their documents?
Oh, yes,
or is there any other evidential proof of this?
The Ahmadiyya, in my book, King of Travelers, I tell about things about the Ahmadiyya Muslims, and it's certainly in the leader of the original founder, you could say, of the Ahmadiyya sect of Islam was named Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad. And so Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad, he, in the 1890s, more than a century ago, he wrote a book about Jesus in India. And
wow.
Yeah. And so he definitely got the ball rolling in about that time in the 1890s with this material. And I want to tell about the tomb of Jesus. It was Aziz Kashmiri.
I wanted to get back to this theory of the tomb of Jesus because I saw it in the movie, and it was very interesting. But it's a hotly debated thing because of the Muslims that appear to be occupying it were quite hostile and wouldn't let people in to do research. Is this in Afghanistan or Kashmir now, Ed?
It's in Kashmir. And I'll tell you what happened was that when I talked with Aziz Kashmiri that time in 1974, he said that the tomb of Jesus, that is, when Jesus died at around the age of 110, and he was had been living for a long time there in Kashmir, in Srinagar, that he was buried in the old city, the Rosabal section of Srinagar. And his tomb still exists. It's called the Tomb of Yusasaf. And Yusasaf means the leader of the cleansed, such as the cleansed lepers. And he told me where the tomb is. He wrote down directions. I went, got in a taxi, and it was late in the afternoon, a fall of the year, and wonderful.
So this was all in one day.
And I went over there.
This was all in one day?
All in one day. I went over there to the tomb late in the afternoon. The sun had just gone down below the high mountains there, the valley, and very pleasant time. And there was an elderly caretaker at the tomb, and I shook hands with the elderly caretaker, and he welcomed me into the tomb. I took off my shoes and socks, and there was no one else inside of the tomb right then. It was a building that encloses the sarcophagus, and inside is the tomb. And what happened was that there were some children outside playing with a ball and laughing, and everything was quiet, nobody else in the tomb. And I kneeled down there at the sarcophagus by the grave, and I thought, my goodness, what if this all is true? What if this is really the tomb of Jesus Christ? And I thought to myself, if it is true, I'm the only Christian on the planet right now who happens to be there visiting, paying my respects. And I just had a really profound and moving feeling. I made a donation to the caretaker and went back to the houseboat. And I have never been able to get the tomb and the feeling I had out of my mind. When our team, we were told, because of all the hostility in Kashmir at this time, between Muslims and Hindus and Christians and so on, we were told to not, we as Americans, to not go anywhere near the tomb at this time. We sent our Indian filmmaking team over there, and even they got in trouble because the local...
They were trying to ask in their dialect, language, it didn't appear to be such a barrier, if they could get in and film it, and they were refused. And then I understand from your filming that it's been desecrated, the body's been moved, and the man that was outside guarding it was saying, this is not the tomb of Jesus Christ. He kept, you know, the fundamentalism in that part of the world has grown and grown, as we see from the news, and it's such a shame because... If indeed Jesus was a world teacher, which I believe he was,
I believe so too.
And if indeed he was placed on this earth not to die for our sins, but instead to unify all world religions, and if indeed he was a prophet to the Muslims, a prophet to the Buddhists, and a prophet to all the religions, including the children of Israel, and then the Christian movement, then Jesus himself came for a whole different mission. And, you know, people that seek out the truth, you know, eventually those of us that are truth seekers have to stand in our own truth and understand our own conclusions because, like you say, you know, the dogma and all of this other stuff that has been edited out, literally intentionally edited out of the Bible and the Holy Scripture all these hundreds and thousands of years, it causes us to question everything at this point about the Bible, from what we know of the Council of Nicaea and the Nag Hammadi documents, which you go over in the film, and then, of course, the Dead Sea Scrolls, which started it all. So it seems like this is now a time for the truth to be known to the world, and your training of this is perfect.
And that's what we certainly try to accomplish with our movie, Jesus in India, is that we try to be a unifying, harmonizing force for good. And we show how that the evidence is that young Jesus, he not only studied Hinduism and studied Buddhism 2,000 years ago in India, but that for the most part, that young Jesus respected many things about Hinduism and many things about Buddhism, and we try to show how that Jesus should be a unifying figure, and we try to show the harmony between the harmony that should exist between Muslims and Christians, and that how that in how that Jesus should be a unifying figure rather than a dividing figure. So we're really trying to promote harmony and goodwill.
Well, I couldn't agree more. Yeah. And I think you bring out a very good point about the life of Jesus. And I think you've done an extensive amount of research. And
thank you.
Just vast. And I want to encourage our listeners to go to the Jesus in India, the movie website, and purchase a copy of your book and purchase a copy of the movie. You won't be disappointed.
It's
absolutely riveting and perfect as far as the research goes, because I've been looking into all the scholarly aspects of this for years, and I'm not an expert on this by any stretch, but I do know from teaching art history a good deal about all of the different scandals and things that went on at the Council of Nicaea and the way the church distorted the doctrines.
Right.
And then, of course, the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Nag Hammadi, and the Lost Gospels of Mary Magdalene and that sort of thing.
Right.
But, you know, all this historical evidence couldn't be there for no reason, and all the folklore surrounding these. Now, I want to also, before we close our show, talk a little bit about the Buddhist tradition, which we haven't yet touched on, and your meeting with the Dalai Lama, and the manuscript there that is supposed to have existed in the Hemis Monastery that documented Jesus having visited with them, and what the Dalai Lama said when he gave you that audience. And it's phenomenal that you were able to speak with him directly.
That is true. I wanted to mention just briefly that my second book, which tells the story of our making of the movie, my second book, which came out just a few months ago, which you can also find at our website, my second book is called Jesus in India, King of Wisdom, The Making of the Film, and New Findings on Jesus' Lost Years. And for short, you can just look for that title, Jesus in India, King of Wisdom.
And wonderful. And I'm sure that was well researched as the first one that you wrote.
Well, thank
you.
So
a little bit on the Buddhist traditions. Because I saw it in the art years ago. I saw this crucified Buddha, and I thought, what's going on with this, you know?
Yeah, the a big part of our movie and of the research in my first book is concerning a document which was seen by a string of witnesses. The document was first seen in modern times in 1887 by a Russian explorer named Nicholas Notovich at the Hemis Monastery, sometimes called Hemis Gompa. Gompa means monastery in Tibetan. It's a Tibetan Buddhist monastery. It's in northwestern India. It's in the area that's called Ladakh. And Ladakh is a very high elevation area of northwestern India bordering Tibet. And in Ladakh, 20-some-odd miles from the city called Leh, L-E-H, is Hemis, H-E-M-I-S, Monastery. Well, the Hemis Monastery in 1887, close to there, Nicholas Notovich, a Russian explorer, was thrown from his horse. His leg was broken. He was taken to Hemis Monastery to recuperate for some weeks because there was no hospital in the area. He became friends over time with the Tibetan Buddhist monks there, and after some weeks, they trusted him and liked him, and they said, we have a 2,000-year-old document here about Jesus being here at this monastery 2,000 years ago. Do you want to see it? And he said,
wow.
Certainly, yes. They brought it out and they translated it for him. And the title is The Life of Saint Isa, the Best of the Sons of Men. And so that document, then with the help of the monks over the course of weeks and weeks, they translated the entire document into French language, and it was later that Notovitch took the document back to Europe, and then he had it translated from French into English. And the document basically tells a lot of the details about young Jesus, how that he left Palestine at around the age of 12 years old, 13 years old. He joined a caravan, one of the trade caravans on the Silk Road, traveled overland to India, and was a student for about 6 years at the Jagannath Temple at Puri in eastern India.
So this all fits together, and this was corroborating your theory that he was in India and then was at the Temis Monastery.
Exactly.
But, of course, the document hasn't been found. This Notovitch document that he speaks of was not found in the movie, correct?
Not in modern times. It's been seen by a string of witnesses, Swami Abhedananda in 1922. Mm-hmm. In the 1930s, it was seen by witnesses. In the 1940s, as recently as about 1974, it has been seen by witnesses. But the archives at the Hemis Monastery are sealed. They're closed now by the order of the abbot, who has gone back to Tibet for some time, and we were not allowed into the archives. But we believe the document still exists. The Dalai Lama, who appears in our movie, and we met him briefly face-to-face, the Dalai Lama basically takes a neutral kind of stance about any Jesus in India material or any information like that, because the Dalai Lama, we feel, does not want to alienate some fundamentalist type.
The support
Christians.
Of the Christian church,
right.
Because they do dialogue now and
right.
then. Yeah, they meet up with the Pope, and the Pope supports the Dalai Lama, and the Dalai Lama
right.
supports the Pope, and whenever they have any meetings with world leaders, it would offend most of the Christian world.
And
so,
the Dalai Lama
does not want to
offend
for anything. Very good reason, the document hasn't been allowed to be opened up. You know?
Right. But we bring all this information out in our movie, Jesus in India, and our website, again, is jesusinindiathemovie.com. And people have really enjoyed the movie. They're still enjoying it. And the
movie's wonderful, and I've watched it a couple of times here. And each time I watch it, I get some new factual information. It's very fast-paced. The scenery in the movie, especially of you up there in Tibet with the prayer wheels, it's a beautiful picture of you. That's why I posted that on our website. And you're quite the king of travelers yourself. I've got to commend you on your journeys. That's amazing.
Maybe
we're going to have to sign off for today.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Ed, but it was such a pleasure having you on the program.
Thank you.
We will be glad to have you on again and
thank you.
Talk some more maybe about the second book that you've written.
Yes.
I wish you all the best in your scholarly adventure of finding
so
the truth of the life of Jesus Christ. And thank you again for being on our program. We thank our listeners. We will be on air next week at the same time at noon. And then in the month of July, we'll be taking the month of June off, the month of July, I'll be going to a new time slot at 2 p.m. Central Time in the afternoon. But please stay tuned to The Peaceful Planet, where we explore all the great world mysteries, including the Holy Grail, and listen to Appreciated Angels by Bob Murray. Thank you for listening.